find that kind of a boss. Not easy to find that kind of leadership that listens and understands. I believe everything rises and falls on the quality of its leadership. I was taught that years ago, and I believe it to this day. Leadership is what we're going to be looking at tonight and getting a better handle on it, because God addresses the issue of leadership, and he seems to have the same idea too, that the quality of the leadership is going to have a huge impact on whether things rise or whether things fall. So much has been going on here at Westbridge that when I stop and look around and remember where we came from, I can hardly believe it. For instance, I went to the very first Christmas drama rehearsal, and I counted more people at the rehearsal than we had in the first year of our church at services. And then, as I was leaving the upper room the other night with Mr. McCray, I turned to him as we were locking the door and I said, I can't believe it. We actually have a place to call home that we don't get kicked out of. And then even as I walked past the kids' bridges last week and I looked in to see each of the kids, I realized that I probably don't even know half of them anymore from where we came from. And the thing that came to my mind again was this whole idea that the church and each of its endeavors, each of its ministries is being led by a leader, or it's being led by leaders. And God has raised up these leaders to make things happen here at Westbridge. And I remembered that Maxwell statement. Everything rises and falls on the quality of leadership. Good leader, good team. Bad leader, bad team. Since the day that I signed the charter to start this church, I have unrelentingly looked for people who could be good leaders here at Westbridge. And I believe you would all agree that God has sent us some very good leaders here. But I'm always looking for the next one. I've always got my eye out. I haven't slowed down even a little bit in looking for leaders from the day we started. And so tonight I want to talk about what the qualifications are in the Bible that is laid out for leaders, church leaders. We call them elders, the ones I work for on the organizational chart. I want to look at this because I don't believe any of us should look at these qualifications and look at them as something we can't attain to. Each of us, no matter where our position is, should look at these qualifications for leaders and say, you know what? I can be that. I should have that quality in my life. Those aren't just for higher ups on the food chain. So we're going to look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 7, and then we'll unpack this entire section. Here's what it says. This is a trustworthy saying. If someone aspires to be an elder, he desires an honorable position. So an elder must be a man whose life is above reproach. He must be faithful to his wife. He must exercise self-control, live wisely and have a good reputation. He must enjoy having guests in his home, and he must be able to teach. He must not be a heavy drinker or be violent. He must be gentle, not quarrelsome, and not love money. He must manage his own family well, having children who respect and obey him. For if a man cannot manage his own household, how can he take care of God's church? An elder must not be a new believer, because he might become proud and the devil would cause him to fall. Also, people outside the church must speak well of him so that he will not be disgraced and fall into the devil's trap. Now, what is really tough for me tonight is we are going to look at all these qualifications tonight. And I believe I could honestly spend a week on each and every one of these. I've broken them down into 11, and we are going to try to look at them. Some we're just going to look at briefly because they're pretty self-explanatory. Three we're going to unpack big time. But I want you to have them all on your outline, so follow along. Now, as we go through each of these qualifications, here's your takeaway for the night. I want you to give yourself a number. You can give yourself any kind of scale. You can scale yourself from 1 to 10. 10 being great, 1 being awful. You can go 1 to 6, 1 to 5, whatever you decide. But I want you to stick to your scale the whole time, because if you look at each qualification, I want you to give yourself a grade on here's where I'm at with that. Here's where I would put myself at. I'm a 10 at that. I got that down. Or I got a 1 on that. I got to work harder and all the way up to scale. So do that with each and every one of these attributes that we look at. All right? Here we go. The elder must first be, from the King James, blameless, the husband of one wife. Now, theologians have kind of put these two together. They believe these two phrases are tied together. Basically, to be blameless in marriage. Now, the actual Greek here reads this, must be the husband of one wife. Translated, must have only one wife. Now, gang, some people look at this verse and they believe God's qualification here is that anyone who has ever been divorced must be banned from eldership. There are other beliefs that some believe it means a person must, absolutely must, be married, because it talks about a marriage. Some believe that to be an elder, it has to be a man, because it says a man here, and that the elder must therefore be male. Well, one thing's for sure, there are definitely different schools of thought on this verse. The school of theology that we embrace is this. We believe this qualification is twofold. The first is this. First, elders must be the husband of one wife. They must not be polygamists. This is having more than one spouse. No big love on like HBO. That's not where this is headed. Polygamy was common at this time in their culture. Polygamy was big and it was an accepted practice. That, we believe, is most likely what it's talking about here. And it is being addressed with that Greek statement, must have only one wife. Elders must have only one spouse, not multiple spouses. Now, the other phrase, remember I said this is twofold. The other phrase was being blameless. What seems to make the most sense is this. A church leader must know how to be and must be living a marriage that is healthy and irreproachable. The leader must not have a marriage that could be pointed to and accused of unhealthy practices. An elder's marriage must instead be a positive example for others to witness. And his marriage must have nothing that people could blame him for. Hey, you, elder, you're harsh to your wife, man. The way you spoke to her, bringing blame on him. You seem very self-centered. It's all about you. Or you're abusive. Or you do not provide for your spouse. Or you do not submit and work as a team. Why? Why is this the first thing we really see here in these qualifications for elders? Well, it's because marriage is pivotal. Marriage is pivotal to a spiritual life and to the church's health. Gang, I have said for a long time that if a church could master two spiritual life skills, more than 50% of the problems in people's lives would disappear. Those two life skills are, number one, how to be married. If we could learn how to be married the way the Bible teaches, a lot of problems are going away. Number two, if we can learn how to raise children the way the Bible tells us to. You match knowing how to be married to knowing how to raise children, and half the problems in a church are going to disappear. This is talking about the marriage end of this. So, with over 50% of marriages failing today, Christian or non-Christian, elders are going to do a lot of counseling. They're going to be doing a lot of shepherding on the subject as marriage. And guess what? We all do, don't we, soldiers? We all go out there into our worlds and people want to talk about their marriage and how to fix it. Therefore, an elder must know how to be married. He must be living a marriage that is healthy, not just telling people how to have a healthy marriage while his stinks. No good. An elder's flock, the congregants, should be able to look at the church leader and follow their lead, even without the elder speaking. The elder should be displaying and emanate expertise and obedience to God's design, and that goes for marriage. Okay? That's our first qualification. married to one spouse, successful in marriage. That's where we go. Grade yourself. Where are you at? 1 to 10. How good are you at being blameless in marriage? And how good is it that your marriage is as far as being successful and healthy and growing? Give yourself a grade, whatever your scale. I'm going 1 to 10. So, all right, I got 11. Here we go. Let's go. All right. Now, Miss Kelly, she gave me a 3. But I'll give myself 11. All right. Next trait, must exercise self-control. Wow. Must exercise self-control. This is a qualification for an elder. That is a vast statement. But I want to hone in on something. I want to point directly to an elder having self-control in their number one struggle or their number one vice. Here's what I mean by that. I find more and more of us find it easy to point to this one thing in our life that's really hard. One thing that we have in our life that we have a hard time obeying God on. Now, it could be anything, but I tend to call that one thing, that's your number one struggle. That's your number one vice. That's what you got to really know. Okay, this is my biggie. This is why I have the most trouble. If their number one issue is pride, an elder, someone who's going to be leading God's church, must be fighting that battle. Can't just be, oh, that's my problem and I don't deal with it. They better be using self-control and working on that and seeing some success in that. If their number one issue is sexual sin, they must be fighting that battle. Having self-control, practicing and winning the battle against sexual sin. It may be lying, rage, depression, alcohol, jealousy, gossip. An elder must be in the process of self-controlling their hardest issue. Not the easy ones that go quick and easy. An elder, you better be working on your number one issue. That's an elder. Like I said in the beginning, I believe we all should be looking at these qualifications as qualifications for our life. Give yourself a grade. Maybe write down, here's my number one thing, and here's where I'm at with it. I give myself a 1. I give myself a 3, a 4, a 5, all the way up to whatever you're going up to. Give yourself a number, the low number being bad. All right? Next, live wisely and have a good reputation. An elder must be someone who, by applying God's wisdom, is grabbing life by the horns. They are applying God's wisdom, and they're having a fruitful life being a successful person. And I don't mean money. Money is not success. But they need to be living life successfully, so much so that people see this person's life and that they have a positive impression of that person. Basically, you look at this person and you say, man, they seem to have their act together. That's someone who is living wisely and has a good reputation. Next, he must enjoy having guests in his home. Now, did you give yourself a grade on that first one? Don't forget to give yourself a grade. I'm not going to say that 11 times, but hopefully you give yourself a grade there, okay? Must enjoy having guests in his home. Now, gang, we tend to think of this in terms of our society today. We tend to think of this, oh, I like having friends over to our house. Okay, that's what we did last night. A bunch of us, the Flones, Mr. and Mrs. Hooker, we had at our house. Oh, we had people over our house. That's not what it's talking about. All right, what it's talking about, it's referring to something that happened back in the time that this was written. Times when people would come through, travelers would come through a particular village or a town, strangers would come through town for any kind of reason, whether they were relocating, whether they were looking for work, maybe they were businessmen, but they were passing through. And many times, instead of these people going to a hotel, they would be welcomed into someone's home, and they would stay overnight, or maybe for a period of nights. Now, this character trait that God is putting down here for an elder speaks to this reaching out and giving to others attitude. It's a welcoming and an invitational, a magnanimous character trait. And elders should have that trait. In our society, it may not be putting up strangers overnight, but it might. But I see it more in someone who happily gives a stranger or a first-timer a ride to small group. Someone who will take a mild acquaintance and take them to a doctor's visit or an appointment. It's an attitude that loves people, especially strangers, not those who automatically love you, but strangers, and longs to help them and assist them. That's what it's talking about. He must enjoy having guests in his home. Give yourself a grade. How are you there? Next, he must be able to teach. Now, this phrase, able to teach, is pointing to a leader's ability to handle scripture. All right? An elder must understand what the Bible says, and they must be able to communicate those truths to others, especially those who misuse and violate truths of the Bible. This does not mean, gang, that they have to be able to preach. They don't have to be able to preach. Most instruction and teaching happens in an informal setting. But the elder must know their Bible, and they must be able to share it, must be able to teach. Give yourself a grade. How are you doing there? All right. Now, so far, let's get a little recap along the way. How do you think these are as character traits for a church leader? Do you think the Bible's right on? Yeah, I'm seeing some head shaking. Yeah, I think these are right on as far as this is a good leader. I want that kind of boss that we saw up here. I want someone who's blameless in their marriage and a husband of one wife, exercises self-control, lives wisely, has a good reputation, enjoys having people to their home, and can teach. These are good things. I think God nailed it when he had these. We ain't even halfway through. I would be thrilled to be led by a person like this. And I'll let you in on a little secret. I think we found one of these. I'm getting ahead of myself. But I think we found one. So here we go. All right, next trait. He must not be a heavy drinker or be violent. Now, there's really not a lot of hidden truth here. There's not a lot for me to go ahead and unpack here for you. Self-controlled in their use of alcohol, and you know this is one of my things. Don't get me started on this. I will allow me to say this. I ask our elders to stay away from it. That's me, not the Bible. The Bible says self-controlled in this. I ask them to stay away. Let's just take that issue right out of our lives, and I think we're better off for it and all the people we deal with. But this is also coupled with this idea of violence. So, and there's a reason for that. So I want you to give yourself a grade there because I think that's pretty self-explanatory. How are you with this issue of alcohol use and even the fact that it can cause you to be violent? I think this is coupled really with the next issue here, the next trait. He must be gentle and not quarrelsome. Here we see a contrast, don't we? All right? And this word, epaike, is how we say it. It's used to convey the word quarrelsome. And it's used in the Bible several times. You see, there's a difference, there's a big difference between debating scriptures with somebody and allowing it to become quarrelsome. An elder should certainly debate scripture. You're going to have that time where you have to argue some scripture and say, well, this is what this says, and what you're saying there isn't even in the Bible. God doesn't ever wrote the words, God helps those who help themselves. You've got to be able to argue some scripture. But an elder should never allow it to become a heated argument, should never allow it to become verbally contentious. Instead, we see about being gentle and not quarrelsome. The elder is best to joyously agree to disagree and move along. Move on with a smile on his face and a big spring in his step. Give yourself a grade. Are you gentle and not quarrelsome? Give yourself a grade. Next, not love money. A church leader must not have the love of money in them. Certainly, the church leader must not be greedy, and it must not place money at the top of his list. But there is also a command here about money that it must not be the motive. Money must not be the motive for doing ministry. Let me read this to you in 1 Peter 5:2. Shepherd God's flock for whom you are responsible. Watch over them because you want to, not because you are forced. This is how God wants it. Do it because you are happy to serve, not because you want money. Well, that's an easy one here at Westbridge, isn't it? Because we don't pay anybody. I always tell Jeremy, I give you five times what I make. You can have five times. This year he's going six times. Six times what I make, Jeremy's going to make. That's multiplied by zero, and there you got your answer. But gang, this trade is not saying we should never pay a leader. There will be a time, I would assume, I'm not a prophet or a foreteller, but my guess is at some point a minister will be paid. But it should not be the motive of the minister to want to be paid. That's what they're after, to make the money, to have the career new. Serve because you want to, because you are happy to serve is how God wants it, they put that. Give yourself a grade there as far as your ideas on money. Are you greedy? Here's another one. Are you cheap? Are you cheap? Put it down, and put it down as a low number. Shouldn't be cheap. Frugal is one thing, careful is another thing, but if you are not magnanimous, the Bible never applauds you. Okay? Put that down. Next. I think we're here. Yeah, okay. He must manage his own family well, having children who respect and obey him. For if a man cannot manage his own household, how can he take care of God's church? We're going to unpack this one a little bit more. I come to this verse a lot. I come to it when I address church leadership, and here is why. The church is not a business. It's not a business. The church is what? A family. So, the church does not need a CEO. It does not need a CFO. That's not who should be at the helm. We may have one of those, but they shouldn't be at the helm. What the church needs, what the church family needs, is a spiritual sage, a wise, seasoned leader. I don't care how successful a person is at running a business. That means nothing to me. The true litmus test of church leadership, according to the Bible, is can that person run their family? Company? Family. When the elder has fights in their family, are they leader enough to work it out? Because there will be fights in God's bigger family, the church. When finances are tight, does the leader get capsized by their bills, or do they make the difficult choices and get their finances back into the black? Because God's household will have finances, and they have to be run well. Does the leader do that in their home? If they don't do it in their home, forget about doing it in a bigger home. Is the leader's household running smoothly? And is that family a guiding light in their neighborhood and in their community? Because God's church is supposed to be. So if they can't do it here, they can't do it there. And if they are doing it here, bring that to the church and lead it and show them how. All right? Grade yourself there. How are you doing on that issue? Next to last, an elder must not be a new believer. Now, this verse goes on to tell us why. This is interesting because God goes on to explain this one. An elder must not be a new believer because he might become proud, and the devil would cause him to fall. God wants the leader to have experience. Time following God will involve going through trying fires. Time with God will present a believer the opportunities to grow. Walking with God over a period of years will knock the pride out of them. Walking for God with years will knock the self-reliance out of you, and it will certainly chop down any superiority you thought you had. A good elder candidate, when I go to an elder, a person approaching them to be a candidate, the best candidates usually feel unqualified, they usually feel overwhelmed, and they are eager to seek God's help in whatever an elder would have to do. You see, the Bible says this whole idea of knowledge puffs up. 1 Corinthians 8:1. Knowledge, starting to learn scriptures, starting to really pick up Bible truths, makes us proud of ourselves. The Bible says. While love makes us helpful to others. The greatest of these is love, right? So we get this. Bible truths Scriptural knowledge and theology will come rapidly to new believers. Come, accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Come here, come to small groups. You are going to learn Bible truths. You are going to learn scriptural knowledge. And you are going to learn theology. But swinging that big of a hammer can be dangerous. But love, when you love, wanting the best for someone else at your own expense, that is a slowly acquired skill, it seems. Years of Christian life experience allows us to use Scripture to help someone lovingly, as opposed to, I know the truth, you don't, therefore I'm something special. Not good. Give yourself a grade there. How are you in this idea of in your spiritual walk, and how are you doing with that as far as years go? Lastly, also, people outside the church must speak well of him, so that he will not be disgraced and fall into the devil's trap. I love this, that this is in there, and it ends up with this. So interesting that God has lifestyle evangelism right in there, meaning letting your light shine, loving people, all about non-believers, so that they will become believers. And God puts it right in here. They should actually be spoken of well. So much so that God says, people outside the church should respect that person. It matters what people who don't even go to church think about that person and the reputation they have. They should have a good reputation with the people who are standing next to them in their office or having lunch with them on a lunch break. They should have a good reputation and be admired and thought highly of when they're standing on the soccer sidelines watching kids play soccer. They should be esteemed and thought highly of by the people living on their street. Gang, these are the qualifications for someone to lead God's church. God has prescribed these for someone who is going to lead his church. But to be honest with you, I believe we should all be striving for these. We should all be striving for these traits. So, as your takeaway tonight, I want you to circle your lowest number. Circle your lowest numbers. Just between you, don't stand up. We're not going to have you stand up and call them out. All right? But I'll tell you what. Circle your lowest number and say, this is one I can do better in. And I'll even be honest with you, because we're in this together. I did this. I circled mine. And mine was the last one. I can do better when it comes to people admiring me, esteeming me, and thinking a lot of me outside of the church. I can do better. I need to be someone who is warm to people on those soccer sidelines, to go up and meet them, talk to them, get to know them, and ask how their kid are. Who is your kid out there playing? And be kind and nice. It's easy for me to do that at church. Not always so easy to do it in the neighborhood. My low number on that last one said, you know what, Drew, maybe you should stop the car instead of waving every time you wave to that person on the street. Stop and say, hi, what's going on? Make that relationship one that's a little stronger than where it is. So I have mine that I'm working on too. Now, like I said, oh, by the way, how you doing? Got your number? This is what I'm going to give you as your takeaway for the week. Say, this is what I really need to start focusing on. This one needs to come up. These are not just for the higher-ups in Christianity. These are for all of us. Yet someone who is getting a handle on these, all right, this person's ready to start leading the church. And like I said when we started, since the day I signed the charter for this church, since the day I signed that paperwork, I have unrelentingly been looking for leaders to run different ministries here. And God has sent us leaders, and he has grown people. I've watched them grow, and he has shown me several, many leaders that we put in place here. But tonight, I want to present to you someone who we believe encompasses all of this. Someone who has these attributes in their arsenal. Someone who has agreed to step to the position of elder here at Westbridge Community Church. Now, it's a man who I have watched fight to make his marriage what God wants it to be. A man who shows up every ministry God calls Westbridge to do, and who shows up early, and who shows up with much needed supplies. He is just as eager to share the truths of the Bible to you as he is to open the curtain for a drama. He is unashamedly displaying his love for Jesus Christ where he works and in his neighborhood. And I've known him to be the kind of person who would give even a stranger the shirt off his back. He spends countless hours on the phone walking people through tough situations here and far away. And he is usually the one who humbles himself to take out the garbage at the end of a small group. He burned out the transmission in his truck several years ago, pulling our trailer, went up to the Dodge dealer and had that transmission fixed and came right back and pulled the trailer the following week. He'll never tell you, but I think he's a big shot where he works. But see, none of us know, because he refuses to act like that around us. So we just don't think he is. I think he is. I've watched God season him through trials. I've watched God season him through tribulations and watched him grow. And we are blessed. I and the rest of the elder team have affirmed that he is the right person to be on the elder team here at Westbridge. So we would like to install him tonight. Robert, come on down with your family, please. Robert, will you step forward with your family? I'm going to give you three I do's, just like you're getting married. There they are, body of Christ. Here's the bride of Christ, all right? I know, they're easy to love, and we love you. But here's your charge. Robert, inasmuch as you have proclaimed your love and your devotion, your allegiance to Jesus Christ and his call on your life, we, the elders of Westbridge Community Church, affirm you as possessing the scriptural mandates God has laid forth in his word as an overseer and an elder in the Church of Jesus Christ. So Robert, first, if it is your desire to follow the ministry path presented to you today, please signify to the church by saying, I do.
I do.
And if you desire to care for and shepherd the family of God here at Westbridge Community Church, signify by saying, I do.
I do.
And if you desire to live and proclaim the truths of God in the world that God has placed you in, would you signify by saying, I do.
I do.
It's now that I would like to ask the elders and anyone else in the body of Jesus Christ who would like to come down and pray for Robert. That is what we are going to do. Pray for him and his family, because he is going to need it, because there's a lot of work that gets done by the elders. They are under incredible scrutiny. People will not just look at Robert and his life, they will look at his family's life. This is how an elder's son should live. This is how an elder's daughter should live. This is how an elder's wife should live. And those are heavy requirements to have to live under. But with God's help, and what we want to give him tonight is the opportunity to say, God, through your Holy Spirit, make him the man of God you want him to be, and help this family to realize that they are a light to others. Lord, I want to thank you for being with us tonight and allowing us this opportunity to affirm Robert and his family. Thank you especially for what Robert has been to each of us here in this church. Lord, we gave a short list of the things he has done for us, and we gave another short list from the Bible of what his qualifications are. But Lord, we know that you will give him what he needs through the power of the Holy Spirit to help us find our way. I pray that you would continue to give him the love that Jesus Christ has poured into his Holy Spirit that's in Robert. I pray that you would continue to have him fight for purity in his life and his family's life. I pray that you would give him continued humility and even more to know that it is you working through him. And I pray that you would even increase his faith as he moves forward and you call us to do new and amazing things. Help him to help us lead the charge on where you would have us go. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, speech! 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 He's gonna need a microphone, huh? Oh, he's got one good.